Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. It's interesting today that our subject, as you will see, is quite relevant to it. So, it's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, actually. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Have you ever noticed how kids imitate their parents? The way they walk, the way they talk, the way they laugh, even their facial expressions. My dad left when I was 5 years old. I had very little contact with him. I only saw him maybe twice between being 5 years old and being 19 years old. I saw him twice. And it's so interesting because later on we were in Greece where he was living. Loretta and I went there. And one day we were just sitting having some kebab. And we were sitting against one another. And I was just going like this with my hands. And then Loretta goes, "It's amazing, Raph." I go, "What?" She goes, "Look at your dad. He's doing the same." And it's amazing the things that we pick up from our parents subconsciously or even sometimes genetically. And the kids, we don't have to try. It just happens. Imitation flows out of relationship. So here in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. We imitate not to become God's children. This is something that's we have to be very careful about. We don't imitate God so he will accept us and make us God's children. We imitate God because we have been made God's children through faith, through trusting him. We don't live to earn his favor, but we love because we have been loved. And so today, I would like to speak about being imitators of God as dear children. And then notice verse 2, and walk in love. God is love. And when we think about love, the English language is so impoverished because we think about loving Coca-Cola, we think about loving a nice view, we think about loving a conversation, we think about loving our mother and our father, and we think about loving our children and our husbands and wives. But I think we would all agree that we love Coca-Cola in a different way than we love our parents. Love, true love, the love that God wants to build in our life, is rooted in identity, not in effort. You know, sometimes it's like, and you see it all over the place. We all love to talk about love and we dream about how loving we are. But when the rubber hits the road and things happen, it is very difficult. And we need to realize that we are not called to love in easy circumstances. We are called to love in all circumstances. And sometimes from the thought of what it looks like to the actual practice of it is quite a margin. And we come to a place where we realize to love like God loves it's none other than supernatural. God wants to cause us to love in a way that is supernatural, in a love that is rooted in identity, not in effort. He doesn't start with commands. He starts with belonging. And this is what we've been looking at in the first three chapters of Ephesians. Paul says, grace and peace to you, that you would know the grace of God, that you would know the peace that he gives. And then he explodes in worship. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So he's just so amazed at what God has done for him. And then he begins, and not only them, him, but for the Ephesians, and then he begins to list off the different blessings. Who he's chosen us, he's forgiven us, he's accepted us, he has redeemed us, he has sealed us, he has made us alive from the dead. You see, all these things are supernatural. And Paul wants them to be grounded in their identity of who they are in Christ. And as they realize their identity in Jesus, then they are able to love as they have been loved. Many times we try to love before we realize how loved we are, and we just fail. It's a process. It's a process that will go from the beginning of us becoming Christians to the end of failure. But we just see the work of the Holy Spirit in us. For the fruit of the Spirit, the works of the flesh are one, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Works are easy. Fruit takes time. Love. People. Loved people love, and forgiven people forgive. And so the thought here is, let God's love be the source of your love. It's like a sponge. It releases what it is soaked in. Last week, Jimmy talked about how we needed to take inventory of the menu. We needed to know the menu. We need to know exactly what God has provided for us. And as we become soaked in Jesus, we sang it this morning, it's all about you. And I love the way that Enan just kind of at the end, just a cappella, just it's all about you, Jesus. To fill the room with the fact that it's all about him. And as we get soaked in the person of Jesus, when we are bumped, that's what's going to come out. If you soak resentment, that's what's going to come out. If you soak God's love, that's what will flow. A friend of ours, Ian, he was working with Mission for Vision in Nigeria with my friend Rob Dingman. They went to Congo. They went to Nigeria. And so he was taken captive with three others. They were held hostage, and the captors kept going to him, and he began to say, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And so they began to tell him their problems, and he began to pray for them. He wasn't there with anger, although he was a taken captive. He was there with love. And then he took a guitar and he began to sing Amazing Grace. And from a distance, somebody shot him and killed him. But I look at people like that, and I look at people throughout history like that. You can read history books of Christians. And it's amazing how saturated they were in the love of God, in the love of the Spirit. I prayed for Nigeria, and I prayed two things. I prayed, Lord, get out of there, those people that need to get out, but strengthen the ones that want to remain. Why did I pray that? Because when ISIS was active in Iraq, not everybody left. Some Christians, some of the Kurd Christians says, we want to remain. And they actually remained and stood up to ISIS, not with guns, but with love. And some of the ISIS people became Christians because they could not understand love like that. And I look within and I'm just like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I'm very close to that. Baby steps. God's not going to give us more than we can bear. But let me tell you, let's not shoot ourselves in the foot. God wants to grow us in love beyond what we are able to think or imagine. That's what Ephesians chapter 3, that's what he prays. He prays, Lord, that they will be rooted and grounded in love. And then he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all we can think or ask. What is that? To make us into people that are able to love. Not just love those who love us. Not just love those who accept us. Not just love those who give to us. But actually love those who want nothing to do with us. And even love sometimes those who are against us. That's hard. And it doesn't mean to bend over, but it does mean that our hearts are not bitter or resentful. A sponge saturated, soaked with Jesus. And love, here we see in the text as well in verse 2, it says, love is self-giving, not self-seeking. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. Look the way that the love is described here. He says, love as you have been loved, and the way you were loved is through the generosity of Jesus to give himself. The world says, love yourself first. Jesus says, give yourself away because you are loved by me. The world is about getting what you want. Jesus says love is about giving what you have. Teenagers sometimes, it's kind of like, do they make me feel good? Do they notice me? But Jesus' love is not about what you get, but what you get out of it. It's about what you pour into it. With adults, it changes a little bit. It's love as long as it's convenient, or as long as I am appreciated. But love gives even when it costs. And we give ourselves away. How do we give ourselves away practically? I think sometimes it's time. Just giving time to people. I think sometimes it's comfort. We're in a comfortable situation, and sometimes it's a matter of stepping out of our comfort. Sometimes it's convenience. Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's giving up our pride. And sometimes, this is the biggest one for me, the greatest gift you can give to someone is your attention. I have a really hard time talking to people that are, and I need to grow up in love, and obviously in this, but I have a really hard time when I see people are just distracted and are not paying attention. And you know what? I do that all the time. I don't know, but I mean, I might be in a conversation with somebody and I'm just like, oh Lord, please remind me what we were talking about because I can't remember. It's just to kind of say, and then you just kind of go, yes, yeah. Oh no, no, I should say no, you know. But given it's work. The way we love people is giving people our attention. Love gives up the last word in an argument. Love gives time when tired. Love gives forgiveness when undeserved. Love gives patience when kids or coworkers push. I mean, at one point he says, having loved about Jesus is having loved his own. He loved them to the end. And it says that he girded himself. He grabbed a towel and he washed the disciples' feet. That is not an exhortation for us to go around washing people's feet. In those days, people walked in dirt roads with sandals, so their feet was dirty. So their need at that time was washing feet. Our question is, how can we love? How can we meet people's need? You know, there's one particular person that was always offering to help us with something, but it was always what he wanted to help us with, but we didn't need what he wanted to help us with. What's the point of being helped with something you don't need help with? The way we love is we meet people in their need. So love is self-giving, not self-seeking. Number three, love, which is at the end of verse 2, pleases God. It's a fragrant offering. Notice it says, he gave himself for us, Jesus, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Do you know that you can make God smile? It's crazy because theologically, there's a term about God called he is impassible. That means he is unaffected by anything outside of himself. It's the sun would be more affected by you entering into the sun than God would be. I mean, imagine going into the sun. I don't know how many Earths you can fit in the sun, but imagine going into the sun. You'd be nothing, but there's an effect. Well, God is impassible. He's not affected by things outside of him. But for some reason, through redemption, he's actually made it possible that you and I, tiny little puny creatures that we are known, are loved, are cared for, but also that we can actually bring pleasure to him. We can actually please him. We can actually put a smile upon his face. As a matter of fact, Eric Little, who ran in the Olympics from years ago, he was a guy from Scotland. He wanted to be a missionary. He felt called to be a missionary, but he also wanted to run in the Olympics. And he actually ended up winning the Olympics. The gold medal. But before he actually ran, his sister was like, "You are not supposed to be a runner. You are supposed to be a missionary." And he said this, "God called me for a purpose, and that is China. But God made me fast for a reason, and that is the Olympics. And when I run, I just feel the pleasure of God." He felt the pleasure of God. That means that God was pleased with what he was doing. That's what we're called to do. A sweet-smelling aroma. That's what it means. That's temple language. That's worship rising to heaven. When Jesus gave himself, it pleased God. He made all of heaven happy. And our love, too, becomes worship. It's beautiful to come here. It's beautiful to come here and sing together. And it's wonderful to come here and sing, "It's all about you, Jesus." And we all mean it. We're here. We want to draw near to God. We love God. But let me tell you, the way we demonstrate how much we love God in worship is not just here in song. Did you notice what Enan did? Did you notice what happened today? We're there talking about just loving God and worshiping and worshiping Him. And all of a sudden, his son came, and a couple of people are trying to help him to pull. And the kid's just kind of cornering himself even more. He's like, no, because I think he had an emergency. And Enan lovingly grabbed his son, and he just took him. And then when he was done, he came back, and he came back right back into worship. But you know what? Enan was worshiping the whole time. To walk in love is worship. We bring a smile to God. Like an aroma filling a room. Like, I love it. I mean, whether it's a braai in South Africa, or whether a barbecue in the States, or whether it's un torrat. Aquí, una torrada en Mallorca. When you begin to smell that sobresada or that steak or those sausages there that they make in South Africa, it's just like whatever it's called, you know, braai. Oh, sorry, a braai. But I'll tell you what, you smell that stuff. You smell that stuff and it's just like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I can't wait to dig into it. Well, that is a picture of how God feels when we walk in love. As a matter of fact, it's like an aroma filling the room. When in John 12:3, when Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. That house was filled. You know what it was filled with? The fragrance of the oil was a symbol of her love. That room was filled with love. And sometimes it costs. You guys remember a couple of weeks ago I told you about my carpenter? 10 months from the moment we commissioned them to do the kitchen to the actually, then we paid him, and it was just like, from the day he was supposed to start in Easter, he finished last week. I'm like, you know, because it's a battle. To love is a battle. And my mind was, I'm going to pay him in the same way that he built that kitchen. Just a little bit at a time for 8 months. I was ready, you know. And then we had a guy named here, Michael. He used to be a diplomat in Jamaica, funny enough, and in different parts of the world. And he says to me, because we'll always find these kinds of Christians, and he's great. I mean, I love him to bits. He's a close friend. But he goes, "That's right, Raph. Make him wait." And I'm just like, see, I got Christian confirmation. And then my wife goes, "Come on, Raph. Really? Okay, I'm going to give him half this month and half next month." She goes, "Just give it to him." I'm like, all right. And you know what? I called him, I wrote him a message, and I said, "Come tomorrow." And he came, and I gave it to him, and he was just like, "Thank you." And then he left, and he says, "Everything's fine." And in my heart, I'm just like, oh. And then, but then you got a sense, but I brought a smile to your face. I did what pleases you, no matter how much it costs me to go against what I felt was just. But it's interesting. That's what's just. But thank God, God doesn't give us what is just. He doesn't even give us what is merciful. He gives us what is gracious. He is gracious to us. And as we've received grace, that means giving people what they don't deserve, we can do that. Is Simon here? Simon's not here? It's oh, I'm going to remember that he's not here. No, I'm just, but so Simon had a situation where he says he rented a house and an apartment, and then he was supposed to pay to a certain month, and then he says, okay, we're going to leave middle of this, I think he says middle of October. So can we just pay you half of October? And the landlord says, no, we've talked to our lawyers, and they were great friends. We talked to our lawyers, and no, well, you're going to pay us the whole month of October. And he's just like, oh my goodness, this is not nice. And then what he did is he says, okay, I'm going to go back to them because they cannot be that they're thinking this way. And he's like, no, I think you misunderstood. We're leaving on the 15th. No, but I talked to my lawyer. You have to pay the whole month. And by the way, when you move out on the 15th, please leave it clean, because on the 16th, we have friends that are going to move in there and going to stay there for 2 weeks. And Simon, who, I mean, you meet him and he's such a nice guy, you know, you just kind of, and I'm just wondering, what is he going to say? And he says, so, you know, at the end, I just kind of thought, oh, I mean, I could fight this, and I mean, it's not right what they're doing, but he said this to me. He says, but what is it going to do? At the end of the day, I want him to meet Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a time to fight things and there's not a time to put boundaries. But what I'm saying here is there's a time to love. And so he did. He says, I'd rather treasure the relationship and suffer the cost. And at least I can continue to tell them about Jesus. I was convicted. And that story was actually helpful with the carpenter. Worship happens like that when it costs us something. And love rejects, number four, counterfeits. Notice verses 3-4. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Paul warns, not all love is love. Immorality seeks pleasure without purity. And here, there's three topics being dealt with. Sexual immorality, trying to love without commitment. That's all it is. A transaction. I want this, you want that, we settle it. But no commitment. Impurity, making the sacred casual. Something, and let's put it in the context of sex, for example. I mean, sex is sacred. Sex has been given by God to be enjoyed in the place of marriage, and we just make it casual. Something that is supposed to bring a couple together, one man, one woman, for life, gifts them with sex, for intimacy, for pleasure, for reproduction. And we make casual of it. Which becomes, you know, I mean, what is meant to be holy becomes entertainment. Think about, I mean, I don't even know the percentages, but think about the statistics that must be out there of the men, not to mention women, that are into pornography. Destroying, absolutely shattering marriages. I've dealt with women that are just brokenhearted at why their husband has to be looking at another girl with another guy. And it's a counterfeit. It will never fulfill you. That kind of love doesn't exist. That's not love. That is lust. And the love that we are longing for deep in our hearts comes by doing it because of our identity with God, our generosity, our desire to worship Him and please Him, and not to settle for counterfeit love. That's why when Paul speaks about sexual immorality in Corinthians, he doesn't just say it is wrong. He says, don't you realize you've been bought at a price? Don't you know how valuable you are? Don't you know how valuable your mind, your eyes, your being, your soul is? You are bought. That's why real love goes to the streets. They go to the ladies, to the prostitutes, to tell them how valuable they are. They don't need to be involved with that. That's why Mary Magdalene was impacted by a waft of love, Jesus. And Mary Magdalene all of a sudden sees dignity. Love speaks what builds, not what breaks. How we deal with people. You know, it's kind of like a jeweler dealing with a diamond. I mean, my goodness, diamonds are tough, but if you chip it in the wrong place, you can just mess the whole thing up. But you deal with it with the value that it has, with the care that it needs. And my goodness, you get one of the most precious stones in the world. Think coals, pressure, then crafty, care, loving TLC, and you end up with the most precious stones in the world. That's our lives. That's our marriages. How we deal with one another. Lizzie and Werner asked me once to share my testimony in German to about 120 people in their house. And it was in the yard. And then there was a pilot that was part of this church here. He was a Christian pilot. And he was supposed to share a reflection as well, like just a thought. And he was shaking. He's like, I don't understand what's happening to me. I fly 200 people back and forth throughout in the whole world, and I don't shake. And here I am shaking. And I said, well, on a plane, you're responsible for their lives. Here, you're responsible for their souls. We are valuable. Paul is not trying to shame, but to save from cheap imitations that can't satisfy the soul. I don't want to turn you off love stories, but I mean, you watch a movie. I mean, any movie. And it just seems like if the person doesn't fall in love with somebody else, or if it doesn't end up in bed, it's just not really, hasn't been a good movie. And oftentimes I think to myself, but that's not the way it goes. It's a cheap imitation. And love, finally, is grateful and not greedy. Notice what it says, the last few words. But rather giving of thanks. But rather giving of thanks. Gratitude is the heartbeat of love. It says, I don't need to take, I have enough in Christ. And we looked at Ruth and the Naomi and Boaz. And the one thing that struck me the most about the book of Ruth was everybody was receiving, nobody was taking anything. Nobody was demanding. Everybody's giving and everybody's receiving, but no one's taking. I have enough in Christ. And you can see sometimes relationships is like, oh, you have everything I need. It's not about you, that person, being everything you need. That's just impossible. No, when two people come and they say, all I need is Jesus, and I want to give myself to you. That is what builds strong relationships. Gratitude starves greed and fills the heart with contentment. A thankful heart is like a well-watered garden. It doesn't need to steal from somebody else's soil. So here it says, walk in love. It's not about perfection, but it's about reflection of who God is, what he's done for us. And it's about transformation. We looked at the caterpillar last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago. We looked at the caterpillar, and it goes in there. It builds the pupa, and then there it dissolves into a liquid, and then the DNA structure kind of re-comes back together, and it comes into a butterfly. Well, that's what's happening with you. You are being broken down into liquid. Sometimes it feels like you're not going to survive another day. And God says, and now I'm going to put everything together. I'm going to redeem you. And I'm going to make you into a pillar of love. We love because we are loved. We give because he gave. We forgive because he forgives. And I want to ask you a question. When the world squeezes you, what comes out? If you've been soaking on God's love, love that looks like Jesus will flow. Sacrificial, pure, grateful. Love that brings a smile to God. But remember, this is also supernatural. So it's a combination. God is doing this in us. But we realizing what God is doing, we yield to that. So, I just want to read the verses. Therefore, Paul says, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. It shouldn't even enter there, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. I'm seeing my son in school in Germany, and it's kind of hard. I mean, I thought parenting was hard. But parenting from a distance is challenging. And I kind of see some of the things that he's doing, you know, because obviously I'm in touch with teachers and stuff. And I'm just thinking, oh, Jonathan, I just want you to grow into a loving man. I couldn't care less what he does for a living. To me, if he just becomes a person that knows God, loves God, and is able to deal with people in a loving way, whatever he does, whether business, whether he's a writer, whether, I mean, he's such a gifted kid. But nothing compares with him growing in love. I'm thinking, if I want that for my son, how much does God want that from you and I? So I want to pray together. Ask God. In his, you know, if you don't know Jesus today, and you've just given yourself, like I did, to all the counterfeits. You've touched enough fake dollar bills that you're just like, oh my goodness, I can't get a right one. Maybe you want to get today and just say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you. I want to experience your love, your grace, your mercy. And if you're here today and you are a Christian and you're growing and you feel so challenged in it, just realize That's what he's making in you. He's not so concerned about what he's going to do through you. He's much more concerned in what he wants to do in you. And how you are with people. And how you love people. And how you give yourself to people. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. You didn't come to, you came because we couldn't do it ourselves. And you, I've read throughout the books and through your word, Lord, how you take people like these, like Saul, who was a hateful man, and you made him into a loving man. The love of Christ constrains me. You are dear to me. I mean, the things that he would say just to completely transform man on the inside. We long for that in us, Lord. And I pray for anyone that doesn't know you here today that they might just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I've given myself to a counterfeit life. But you've given yourself for me. Save me. And for those of us that are growing, that we would not become a bad influence on one another. But Father, help us, Lord, to stir one another. To being generous, to being self-sacrificing. To being pure to one another. To have the best intentions for one another, that we would not hide behind walls or curtains on the outside nice and on the inside just ripping people apart. Help us, Lord, to be sincere without wax. Solid pieces of marble, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to take advantage of anybody. Because you have not taken advantage of us, Lord. You've been so generous to us. Help us to grow, Lord, in love, to walk in love, because you so loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.